find. A bearded face can hide an evil mind. Oh, be careful what you say, or you'll give yourself away. Odds are you won't live to see tomorrow.
Andy, you can introduce the show if you like.
What would I say?
You could give the title of the show.
Welcome to Two Rich White Guys with One Enemy.
So you really want to
WFMU.
You really want to go with that title?
I think it's pretty intriguing. Hey, you know what's great about Skyping in?
What?
I can, like, if we had, like, if a topic comes up later, like people have a question about some obscure topic,
uh-huh,
or event in history,
yeah,
you all know that I'm Googling it or hitting Wikipedia. I'll just sound so smart.
No, I think I'll know.
I don't think you will.
Well, I can.
I don't think you will know.
I can see you. I can see exactly what you're doing.
You can't, because, wait, I have the camera off.
Well, that's your camera.
Oh, you can see me?
I can see everything, yeah.
Wait, hold on.
I see that you have some very important masturbating to do, and that's probably the real reason that you didn't come in this week. You might think about putting a post-it over.
Very important. Yeah, it's important.
You might
get my trivial masturbation done every morning.
You might want to think about putting a post-it over your camera.
Is that what people do?
That's what I do.
Wait, no, I've been reading that people can spy somehow. They can hack into people's Skype cameras. Is that true?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Oh my God, that's like a voyeur's dream.
Yes, it is.
Oh my God!
So, welcome to 7 Second Delay, also known as Two Rich White Guys with One Enemy. My name's Ken. On Skype with us this week, it's Andy Breckman, and I'm
the guy with the enemy.
That's true. I have no enemies. But
do you really believe that, Ken? That is so cute.
No, that's not true. I have lots of enemies.
You mean you have no new enemy today? you didn't have to add to the list today.
I guarantee you I have a lot more enemies than you have.
I think you do. Well, because you get more done.
Well, we should maybe do a show that's just about my enemies.
But you wouldn't want to name them by name, would you?
No, I wouldn't.
You would. But we could do that. We could give each one sort of a pseudonym. And then you'd be free to discuss them.
Yeah. Yeah, there's Quickie and Chuckles.
Yeah. I would be more worried about Quickie than Chuckles.
Chuckles hated me because I kicked him off the air during a WFMU marathon. He knows who he is.
Wait. Do you have any enemies that you're actually physically afraid of? That
no.
You think might be so unstable they would genuinely pose a threat?
No.
Oh, well, then you're blessed. You're blessed, buddy.
Yeah.
I think I'd be afraid to be in a room with Don McLean.
Well, you got to see Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze. And he will remind you that no matter how big and mean your enemy is, if you break his knee, he'll come down like a ton of bricks. That's the main thing to keep in mind.
He had lots of enemies in that movie.
Break the knee.
Break the knee. Go for the knee.
Go for the knee. That's the secret.
Go for Don McLean's knee.
Yes, go for his knee. Either one. It doesn't even matter. So
I won't decide now which one. So
is he right-handed or left-handed?
Disagree. I don't know if you want to relive this, but I thought listeners might be amused to hear a little part, a clip from last week's show. Last week, I didn't think I would fool you, but I I pre-recorded some sound bites with my partner here, Johnny Celentano, and we before the show we pre-recorded about 20 little sound bites of me responding to questions, and then I went off to the studio, and Johnny, about 10 minutes into the show, called the station and played me conversing with you.
Yes, and man, did you prank me? You got me back for the famous Don McLean track prank, and then some.
And then some. So yeah. Wouldn't you agree with this, that I'm winning our show? It's not a contest. I know it's not supposed to be a contest. But overall, over the 25 years, who do you think is winning the show?
I think it's pretty even. But after last week, you've definitely pulled ahead.
I guess I won the battle last week, but not the war.
Is that what you're saying? That's what I'm saying. But before we go over last week's show, let's just let people know that after we listen to this segment from last week, the topic of tonight's show is we want you to give us a call and give us a topic for us to talk about. We will talk about it for 4 minutes with you on the phone with us. And then at the end of the 4 minutes, you let us know whether you were satisfied.
You were enlightened. Not. You yeah. learned something.
Yeah. But okay, back to next week's show. The weird thing about...
And we should... I'm sorry to interrupt. We should thank my daughter, Molly Breckman, for that suggestion.
That's right. Now, last week's show...
My kids have my back.
One of the weird things was that when I got the call, when I got the notice from Nick the Bard that somebody was on the line that, in fact, was you...
Larry from Rockaway.
It was Larry from Rockaway. And here's the weird thing. There is a Larry from Rockaway. So I went into that call thinking, it's Larry from Rockaway. And then the next weird thing about it was that it was clear something was going on, but I quickly decided in my head that what was happening was this was a guy who could do impressions, and he had been practicing an impression of you. But here's the really strange thing that went through my head was I was thinking, like, it's a pretty good impression, but it's not perfect. And it didn't even sound 100% like you in my head.
Well, I don't do a great Andy Breckman.
I know.
That's always been my problem.
Yeah.
You know, and also you'll hear a third voice. We had a lawyer on the phone,
right,
on the other phone.
Which I thought was Nick. I thought that was Nick the Bard for a second.
Yeah, I did too. And he kept trying to interject a comment or two.
And then the soundboard that Johnny was running, he accidentally fired off the exact same soundbite twice, and I didn't even notice it.
Yes. Although, you know who did? Our lawyer on the other line.
Yeah.
He immediately, you know, a red flag went up to him. But you were just so, you were so impressed. I mean, what I'll never forget about this, and I guess only I was witness to it, was when the call began, you turned to me, and the look on your face was absolute wonderment and astonishment and joy. You just couldn't believe that you had stumbled onto such a great call. What a great impression.
Well, many years ago, about 15 years ago, we found a listener named Mark who actually was able to do a really good impression of you. And I always wanted him to come in and do the show with me doing an impression of you. And he was never willing to do that. So last week I thought, oh, my God, here's my chance. I finally found somebody who can do a really good impression of Andy Breckman.
Or no, not really. Well, but according to you, really good but not perfect.
No, I would have given him a B-.
Oh, God.
That's what
but it's
going.
Me.
I know.
It's me.
But in my head, I was thinking, like, it's pretty good. It's not perfect. And it didn't even sound like you. It sounded like somebody trying to do you. But then,
it was
of course,
me.
I know. But then, when the show was over, I went back and listened to it, and of course, it's you. And I feel like a complete moron. All right, let's listen back to it now.
Okay. Do you want to do commentary as we listen, or just let it?
I think let's just let it run.
Okay.
Here we go.
You're about to listen to my finest hour.
So, Peter, your first client is on the phone.
What is his name?
His name is Larry in Rockaway. You're on the air.
Hey, Larry. You love the show?
Hi. I love the show. I can't believe I got through.
And, Larry, do you have somebody who you're thinking of suing? Have you been harmed?
Hey, I do have a story about a lawsuit that I was considering. But before I tell that, I'd like to talk about Andy's amazing game, Poop Happens. Although it's not really called poop. It's SH asterisk T. I know, Andy, you're not allowed to talk about it on your own show, but I think a caller should be allowed to brag about it.
I guess a caller...
This is so weird.
Wait,
because
hold on. You sound... Wait.
He sounds exactly like you!
He kind of does.
Matt, you got to put your headphones on. Larry!
Oh, man, I know. I sound like
Andy. You sound exactly like Andy Breckman.
Story. I was in Home Depot a few weeks ago, and some guy said, "Hey, I love your show." He said that to me. He thought I was Andy. And I said, "Oh, man, I wish I was Andy. That guy has a great life. He is such a foxy wife.
Foxy wife?
And so many cool things going on. I really wish I was him."
Did you just say foxy wife?
Yeah.
Wait.
I am freaking out.
Well, hold on. Do you have a story about who is this guy? Who is he?
This is Larry and Rockaway.
Are you on the water?
What? Nick, get off
the... Are you on the water?
Nick, get off the line.
Nick, get off the line.
We're talking to Andy's doppelganger, Larry and Rockaway. Larry and Rockaway, you have to fill in for Andy the next week he's not here. You sound exactly like him.
Larry, how long have you lived in Rockaway?
Why are you asking me about Rockaway? I'm not an expert on Rockaway. I've only lived here for 3 weeks.
I love Rockaway.
It was my choice. My parole officer found this apartment.
Oh, it's so nice. Yeah, they have all these along the board.
Who is that?
It's Peter and Larry.
Oh.
All right,
Peter and Larry.
Larry.
Hold on. Wait. Larry, did you just say your parole officer?
Hold it right there. I am not going to talk about my parole officer or my incarceration. That subject is off the table.
Okay.
Well, I got it.
I'm freaked out.
Hold on.
Because this Larry and Rockaway sounds exactly
But
right
you know
here.
What kind of freaked me out that he was talking about Beth? I mean, have you met Beth?
She's very foxy.
Oh, what? Yeah, no, I know Beth is foxy. I saw them once at the Livingston Mall, and I followed them for a while. And then I walked around the kiosk there when they stopped so I could get a look at Beth, a better look. And she is definitely foxy. No question about that.
Hey, Larry, will you email me so I can get a hold of you? Next time Andy's not here, I want you to fill in.
No, I don't want this guy. What's this foxy stuff? That's just too freaky. He's following me around the mall?
He's you, and he's obviously been practicing to sound like you.
But what's he following me about?
He's got you down.
I don't want to be down.
Larry, you got to email me at ken@wfmu.org.
Larry, don't do it.
And also, anyway, Larry, tell us about... your uncle's barbecue a while back.
Yeah, you had an accident with your uncle's barbecue?
Hey, I do have a story about a lawsuit that I was considering. But before I tell that, I'd like to talk about Andy's amazing game, Poop Happens. Although it's not really called poop. It's SH asterisk T. I know, Andy, you're not allowed to talk about it on your own show. But I think a caller should be allowed to brag about it.
Well,
that's
true. Did you really play the game? I got to say, that's kind of nice of you to plug the game.
I was playing your game last weekend with some friends of mine, and we loved it. I'd say it's the best party game I ever played. I was laughing so hard, the guy next to me peed his pants.
That is fantastic. That is fantastic. Well, I'm glad you liked it.
And Larry, did you know that Andy's game has only 40 minutes left on Kickstarter right now?
Yeah.
So Larry, tell us about the time you got burned at your uncle's barbecue.
I'm not going to lie to you. I respect you too much. The truth is, I didn't get burned at my uncle's barbecue. I just made that up so I could get through. I wanted to talk to Andy and meet Andy and talk about his foxy wife and talk about his amazing party game. SH asterisk T happens. Speaking of that game, you know there's only a few minutes left. It ends on Kickstarter at 7 o'clock.
Well, thank you for this guy's doing me the greatest favor ever.
Andy, how are you doing?
Larry, thank you very much.
Andy, how are you doing this?
What are you talking about?
How are you throwing your voice?
I'm not throwing my voice. I love this guy, except for the foxy wife stuff. That kind of makes me uncomfortable.
No, your wife is very foxy.
Well, from you, I can hear it, but I've never met this guy.
Well, he's obviously been following you around. What's the harm with that?
What's the harm with that? I love you. Well, next time, follow Ken around, Larry.
He sounds exactly like you. He's obviously been practicing.
I can't tell. I'm deaf to my own
voice.
He's
the talented Mr. Ripley. He's going to take over your identity.
Larry, thank you very much for calling.
Hey, Larry.
That's great. Andy, you crack me up.
Larry. Larry, you got to hang on. I got to be able to reach you again. Okay?
Hang on.
Okay, so that was last week's show.
You are the cutest guy, kid.
And I never knew you were capable of acting so well.
Well, you know what it was? You know what my motivation was? Plugging my stupid game.
Of course.
It was the last few minutes of the Kickstarter, and I knew you wouldn't want me to talk about it myself, so I arranged for myself to call and pose as Larry from Rockaway.
Whew. Wow.
So I got to plug my game and my foxy wife, so yes. That was a win-win
yes.
for me.
And you got to do it again tonight, too.
Yeah, but the
well played.
The campaign's over.
Yeah. All right, so now we're on to tonight's topic, which is we want calls at 201-209-9368, and you give us a topic, and Andy and I will talk on any topic for 4 minutes.
And what is the – and just remind me, I know I yesterday it made sense to me, but what's the object of this – of the show?
To fill up an hour.
We're enlightening people. Are we, but if somebody calls with a topic, what is our mandate? Are we supposed to enlighten them?
No.
Are we supposed to persuade them to our side of the issue?
No, we're just supposed to fill up 4 minutes on their topic. That's it. And it's,
so we're
and it's not and it's not you know it in, it's not like stump the hosts. You know, I mean, obviously
so we're just going to impress people with how wide ranging our fields of knowledge are.
I suppose that's one way to go. Although I don't think that. The point is to stump us. That's one thing I'll say.
Well, it'd be easy to stump me. Hey, yeah. Listen. Hey, can I plug one thing? It's not a product, but I'm going to be at the UCB this week.
Really? Oh, whose show are you on?
Well, they invited me to. Is it Ascat?
Ascat. Yeah. Oh, cool. You're going to be on Ascat. That's one of their.
But don't worry, I won't be in the improv group. I guess they invite a guest in every show to do a monologue, and that inspires the improv group. Is that how it works?
Yeah, yeah. ASCAT is one of their improv groups. So when is that? So when are you a monologist?
Monologist.
Monologist. Yeah.
That's Sunday evening.
At what time?
I don't know.
Okay.
Are there different? I guess
yeah. They have like three shows a night.
Well, I'm not doing the show that I'm not in. I'm doing the show that they invited me to be in. If that helps.
And then the third show, are you in that one?
I don't know.
They usually do three shows a night at the UCB.
And do they keep the same guy around?
No.
I can't go home.
Nope.
God, it's worse than this stupid show.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is that you're not in either of the shows you're not in, but you're in the one that you are in.
Yeah, I'm the one they invited me to be in, the one that I'll be in.
Okay.
That'll be the one that I'll be appearing in.
Okay, so we are ready with our first four-minute topic with us on the line.
Wait, I can Google. Hold on, but you won't even know I'm Googling.
Well, now that you've put a Post-it over your camera, I can't see you Google or masturbate.
Okay, so it's a perfect plan.
Yeah. Frank in Jersey City, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Never checked out your show before.
Hold on, is that me again?
And happy to be on here.
I guess my
topic for discussion is, should I plan to get married as a 25-year-old male?
Okay. Andy, did you hear that? Frank
First off, is this me calling in again?
No, it's Frank. He doesn't sound anything like you. It's Frank in Jersey City.
I think it might be me.
No, it's not you, Andy.
Oh, okay.
And,
okay. So his question is.
Should he get married at 25?
At 25 years of age?
Yeah, 25 years of age.
Well, wouldn't you agree we don't have enough information?
I guess, specifically.
Well, I think we just have to discuss this for 4 minutes, Andy.
But we don't have enough information to even begin discussing it.
Why not?
Well, who would he be getting married to? How long have they been together? What's his what's his financial situation?
I guess what about you guys? Like, pregnant? What did you? What was your situation at 25?
Oh well, Andy was on. Andy was already onto his third secret family at 25. I think, right? Right, Andy?
Collect them all. Some people collect stamps. I collect wives. No, let me see. At 25, I was involved with my my ex-wife. We were not yet married, but I guess we were discussing it and considering it. And I was, I can't even, I'm so bad at this stuff. I was married at 26, and it felt, I felt very young. How old were you when you were married, Ken?
Well, I started going out with my wife when I was like 19 or 20, but we went out.
Wait,
watch it there.
Sorry. Yeah.
My problem was that I wasn't I didn't mind the idea of getting married so much, but what I really couldn't fathom was having a wedding. So it took 11 years to negotiate the terms of the wedding.
That makes sense, though, because like. You know, I have a family member that's getting married, and it seems like it's like they're both going to self-destruct, and everything's just going to fall apart now.
Yeah. So once once my wife agreed that I could control the music of the wedding.
Yeah, the music of the wedding.
That I could hire the band, and that I could have final say over all musical decisions at the wedding, and then also once I decided that we weren't going to do it in a reception hall. Because I hate reception halls, the big room, and everybody's in that one room. I hate that. Then it was okay.
How mature you are! What an inspiration you are. So you argued for 11 years about how many Hall & Oates songs you'd be hearing.
Yeah, about who would determine how many Hall & Oates songs.
Yeah.
Let
me just say this to our caller. I know our 4 minutes is almost up.
No, we have a whole another minute, 10 seconds.
That way, when you do get married, let me just say that you are going to love sex. It's going to be scary at first, but as you get used to it, you'll begin to really look forward to it and want to do it again and again.
I think, Andy, most people have already most people have already had sex.
No, he said he's not married.
No, but I know, but
it's like you didn't even listen.
No, but before people get married, it's very common now for people to have sex before they get married.
Hey, caller, what's your biggest hesitation? Why are you not pulling the trigger?
Because it's just like a lot of pressure, and like I don't know if like things are going to be the same down the road. And I work with a bunch of older guys that are divorced and really sad.
Well, I've been married a long time, and I'm really happy about it. So, yeah.
And I've been married twice, and was very happy that I got married twice.
What does that mean?
Well, it means I'm very happy I met Mary. I love my three older kids, and we had a wonderful run. And then I'm crazy in love with Bethy. So the worst case scenario is if I'm the worst case scenario, you'll be in pretty good shape.
Okay, time's up. Thanks, Frank. That's it. That's how it works. 4 minute topic. We're looking for a new topic now. The phone number is 201.
Wait, don't we have to ask if we help this guy?
Too late. I hung up on him already.
That's my man. That's my partner.
Sorry.
And that's what this is going to be, this show?
No. That's just a taste. That's a mere taste of what's to come, Andy. Why didn't you come in tonight, by the way?
Well, we got a call that a big buyer from a big chain was considering one of our games, and we had to...
Who tooted?
No, another game, and we had to get him a slightly revised demo version to consider, and we're going to overnight it to him.
Poop happens?
Yes.
Wow.
So it was just worth the shot.
Hasbro? Did Hasbro come calling?
No, this would be a chain of stores.
Spencer Gifts?
Yeah, I wish. Wouldn't that be great? Because they have a whole poop and fart aisle.
Yes, I know. Oh, more than an aisle. Come on.
They have a whole wing. They have a whole department. Wouldn't you love to meet the guy, the buyer at Spencer's Gifts, whose job it is to seek out fart toys and novelties? Wouldn't that be a great guy to meet?
I can picture him.
I can picture him. Yeah,
he looks like Ron Jeremy. In fact, it is Ron Jeremy. Is it Toys R Us? Did Toys R Us come calling?
It's a chain like that. I don't want to go into details on the phone, but
Toys R Us.
Yeah, you can say Toys
R Us. It was Toys R Us.
Oh, fine.
Who else would it have been?
I don't know. But anyway, it was worth staying at the office late, and right. I appreciate your flexibility.
Yeah. Well, you sound great coming in over Skype.
Thanks, brother.
And all we need is another call now, 201-209-9368. Give us a topic. We will talk on it for 4 minutes. Simple as that.
We could give you advice, life advice, like we helped that last caller.
We helped Frank so much.
Yeah, we turned that ship around.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to do it. I don't think he's going to get married.
I think he will do it eventually.
Yeah. Well, he works with older guys who are all really miserable and divorced and unhappy.
Yeah. And I guess that is pretty discouraging if you know a few guys that have been through it.
Yeah, divorced guys.
If you meet the right person, if you meet your Beth or your Hank, then it's such a joy. It's a blessing to have a partner in life, right?
Yeah. And I got to say that the divorced guys I see in Hoboken, it really is depressing. They always live in basement apartments. You can always pick them out.
Well, it's a tough thing to go through, but hopefully it doesn't last forever.
Phone number here is 201-209-93.
I have a question. Yes, as long as to fill. So I'm in my office, mm-hmm. and you mentioned basement apartments in Hoboken.
Yeah.
So I'm in my office, which is it's a basement office, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So we have this infestation of these little tiny gnats, or I guess or fruit flies. These little mini little
fruit flies. Yeah.
Little fruit flies. Mm-hmm. We don't leave food out, or I guess maybe we do occasionally.
Yeah,
but
well, you must be leaving some food out. Is there garbage around?
Yeah, there's garbage.
Yeah, there's garbage. There's probably
sticky.
You
should take the garbage out every night.
Yeah, take the garbage out every night. Wipe down all the surfaces. Don't leave any food out. Hey, it's Joe in Toronto. You're on the air. Hi, Joe. All right, Joe's gone.
That was great. That was great while it lasted, talking to Joe.
It's Judy in Croton. Hi, Judy. You're on the air.
Got my hopes up. I thought I'd be talking to Joe.
I guess is it either quantum physics, string theory? I'd like to know about the space-time continuum.
Hold on. Space-time continuum. I can do this.
Space-time continuum.
Hold on. I'm on this. Okay, continuum would be C-O-N.
No, Google.
No Googling, Andy.
No Googling?
Yeah.
Are you asking about the space-time continuum?
Space-time continuum.
Because you're fans of Back to the Future? Isn't that a phrase they use all the time?
Space-time is a concept that Stephen Hawking talks about. Andy, you're familiar with Stephen Hawking, of course.
He doesn't really talk about it.
Well, he does. He types about it, and it comes out. He types about it, and he uses text-to-speech, just like Aaron in Minneapolis does. And he has this concept, I think, that space-time is... They're two sides of the same coin. They're like the same thing, space time.
I think he says there are 9 sides to the same coin in a space time continuum.
Well, maybe in the 9th dimension, there's 9 sides to the same coin, or in Dungeons and Dragons, if you're using a 9 sided die.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, string theory, I'm not sure if string theory is related to this, but I think the whole idea of the space time continuum is that people think in our dimension, here and now, we think about space and time as two different things, but I think the idea is that they're in fact the same thing.
Well,
How? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Ken knows that they're the same thing. He just doesn't know how.
Well, I don't think that we're able to really, really conceive of it.
Okay.
Well, if we can't conceive of it, then how do we know he's right?
We don't know if he's right.
Maybe Stephen Hawking is playing the biggest prank of all on us.
Yeah? What would that prank be?
He's making stuff up. He knows we can't check it.
Maybe he's not even making it up. Maybe he's just Googling it and cutting it, pasting it into his iPad. And pretending to be typing.
Okay. Hey,
does our caller think that time travel is a possibility?
I hope not.
What was it? One of Einstein's theories was just proven correct. There was a theoretical... Einstein came up with some theoretical concept that was just recently, a couple of months ago, proven correct.
Ken, you're north of you're well north of 50 years now.
Of course.
Have you in your life ever had a theory proven correct? How great would that be? You have a theory.
Yes, I have had theories proven correct.
Theory proven correct.
Yes, I have.
I don't think you have.
I have.
No, you're a million miles from a theory.
No, I will give you a theory that was proven correct.
Theory that was yours, an original theory.
An original theory that was mine. I can't remember who I was with. We were going to smoke weed on the back porch. Okay?
For those of you just tuning in, 99 out of 100 of
Oh, it was me and Marcel. Me and Marcel were going to smoke weed on the back porch. We opened the back door of the love room at WFMU, and what's inside the rear foyer? Just a bunch of sticks. The weirdest thing. It was like somebody was having a Wiccan ritual or something, and Marcel says, "Oh, it's hay." And I got down on my hands and knees. I'm like, "No, it's not hay, Marcel." And we couldn't figure out what happened, whether there was like a witchcraft thing or a Wiccan, some kind of pagan thing going on in, just outside the love room. And I realized instantly I came up with a theory. You know what it was, Andy?
What?
I'm going to say hay.
No, it's not. It wasn't hay.
Was it the space-time continuum?
No. Birds. Birds had gotten inside and they were building a nest.
Wow.
That was your theory?
That was my theory. And it was correct because we removed everything and we found bird poop underneath it.
But wait. But how did they get inside?
Somebody left the back door open.
Wait, birds were going into the trees nearby.
No, yeah, right.
Taking a twig,
yep.
Flying in through the back door, mm-hmm. Leaving the twig, then flying out through the door again.
Right.
Getting more twigs.
Yes.
And over at the course of how long was this door open?
I don't know. It must have been open for a couple of days or something. Oh, no. Did we just lose Judy?
I don't know how that happened. You just told a very interesting story.
It was an accident. It will not happen again. Judy,
it's like monkeys at a typewriter. It's going to happen eventually. You know.
Judy hung up on us.
Yeah, I don't blame her. She called to learn about space-time continuum.
Well, we gave her a little bit on space-time continuum.
You're talking about birds flying in and out your back door.
That was my theory. That was my string theory. What's your string theory that was proven correct?
Let me think. If I ever had a theory proven correct, oh my God, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
That would be like the greatest buzz ever.
Okay, well,
But you didn't need to confirm your bird theory to get buzz that day.
No, I didn't. I know.
You had your backup buzz already.
That's true. Phone number here is 201-209-9368.
And the phone number here in Madison is also 201-209-9368.
Oh, where are you located in Madison?
I'm in my little gnat-filled basement office.
Oh, so you're not at home. You're not in that room.
No.
At home.
I'm in my gnat-filled office.
You're in the writer's room.
Yeah.
I see.
Without any other writers.
Yeah. Maybe you ought to, clean the office from time to time. Cleaning helps keep the fruit flies away.
Uh-huh.
You heard of cleaning?
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
For losers. For squares. For L7s.
Well, if you're happy with the fruit flies, then don't clean.
Damn you, Ken.
Damn you. Andy and I will talk.
Your logic.
We will talk on any topic.
First the birds and now the fruit flies. Ken knows it all. You're like the guy from the 39 Steps, the beginning of the 39 Steps, who knew everything. Remember that movie, the first scene?
Well, no, I don't remember that. I don't think I've
What was the name of that character? Mr. Answer, Mr. Know-It-All?
The Answer Man? Yeah.
The Answer Man. He had this photographic memory,
right.
And it was a vaudeville act. He would come out on stage and people would yell questions.
Right. It's Kyla in New Hampton. You're on the air.
Yeah, let's see if we can stump Ken.
Hi, Kyla.
The show is okay, and I'm not shocked that I got on.
Exactly. Finally, an honest call.
It sounded like you said the state line continuum.
Oh, that's a different discussion. You want us to talk about the state line continuum?
Isn't that awesome? Yeah, like you drive into another state, and all of a sudden, everything is different.
Yeah. No, I agree. The state border... You have to be very careful around the state border.
Some state borders, you do see suddenly. You know what they did? You know what they do in Florida? I believe they transplanted palm trees to near the state border in Florida. So when you're driving into Florida, you do see palm trees because people expect to see palm trees.
Oh, really? When you cross into Florida from Georgia, there's a ton of palm trees there?
Yes, and of course they weren't there naturally. They were transplanted because that's what tourists hope to see.
Well, when you used to cross into Pennsylvania from New Jersey, there used to be an amazing sign that said, "Welcome to Pennsylvania, America starts here." Ooh. which I thought was just an implicitly, you know, bigoted thing to say. It's basically saying that all those minorities in New Jersey, that's not America. Now you're in white America. That's what that sign really meant. Or that's
yeah,
how
and there are exactly.
Some states. As soon as you cross the border,
well, the sign was there for us racists.
Pull over and ditch your motorcycle helmet because there's no helmet law.
And the other thing about state lines, Kyla, in New Hampton, is that oftentimes when you cross a state line, the speed limit changes, so it's an implicit speed trap
with no warning.
Right, so you have to be very careful whenever you're crossing from one state to another.
The speed limit changes for the better, and you can suddenly hit the gas.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see. Maybe I'm trying to think of a situation where that happens.
It's a speed. I mean, going one way, it's a speed trap, and going another way, it's speed sanctuary. It's a get out of jail free card.
Well, I know when you drive from Ohio to Pennsylvania, it drops. The speed limit drops. I think it goes from like 75 to 65 or something. But,
right, because in Ohio, there's nothing to hit, just corn.
Well, you know, when you drive into Ohio, did you ever see the big sign they have in Ohio on the side of the road? It says, "No, comma, America starts here." And then they underline the word here. There's a big dispute with Pennsylvania.
Oh, man, I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
I feel
like I want that sign for the front of my house.
Yeah, America starts here sign, man, that was up for a long time, but it's not up anymore. I think somebody finally wised up.
And then there's a big sign in front of Ken's house. America has nothing to do with this place.
What else can we say about state lines? The state line continuum.
In Georgia, although I haven't been, I'm told that there's a super speeder law. So automatically, if you go over the speed limit a certain amount, it's like a fine regardless of whether they find you guilty.
Ooh.
Or whether you pay the ticket or not.
Oh, and do they have like sensors and cameras, and they'll just send you the bill?
Yep.
You mean they take your license plate?
Yes.
You know, another thing that you see a lot of state lines is you cross the state line and suddenly you can buy fireworks.
Oh, that's right.
It's a million billboards.
Like that.
Wherever fireworks are legal.
Yeah, that's true. It's in Michigan, Ohio. The Michigan-Ohio border has tons, but I'm trying to remember which side of the line it's on.
And what about medicinal marijuana?
Ah, good question. I'm going to Colorado in a couple of weeks, but I'm flying in.
I don't think
Ken's ever coming back, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I know it's
heaven on earth.
Can't wait. You can get
going
the you can get the breath spray, the tincture of marijuana.
You can get that in Washington Square Park.
I guess you can.
Yeah. You can get it in Ken's office.
Okay, Kyla, 4 minutes is up.
Wait, so what are we doing, Ken? It's
like
10 different shows today.
Or an hour.
Well, did we satisfy you talking about state line continuum?
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Thank you.
Okay, good.
Yeah, sure. That's what we're here
for. That's how it works. Thanks, Kyla.
Bye.
So we're interesting on any subject. We're the two most interesting men on radio. We're never uninteresting.
We will talk on any topic for 4 minutes. The phone number.
How about this? We'll keep talking on any topic until we stumble onto an interesting exchange or an interesting point.
Well, now people are calling, Andy. It's Peter. Peter's on the line. He's stuck in traffic on the FDR Drive. Hi, Peter. You're on the air.
We'll talk about the FDR Drive. We'll keep talking until we're interesting.
Every topic.
That'll be our promise to you, the listener.
Well, I think what we offered, Andy, is that we would talk on the topic that
I think as soon as we're interesting, that section is over. That topic has been exhausted.
Okay, Peter, what topic would you like us to talk on?
Well, I want 20 seconds on state lines because
no, we just did state lines.
He wants to add to it.
I don't know.
Okay.
I love the topic, and I thought maybe we could do it. I have a piece of trivia, and that is, which New York highway will you be riding on for a period of a few miles and go through one state and then back to the original state?
678.
I'm not sure that's true.
That's true. It's 678.
Sure that you're not.
Hold on, wait.
Hutch?
I happen to be.
I guarantee you, it's 678. I've done it a million times. You're driving.
It's the hutch. It's the hutch.
Oh well, the hutch turns into 678. Okay. Yeah, because you go in and out of Connecticut. Yeah, Connecticut has that little appendage.
That's right.
Yeah. Are you sure that happens on the hutch and it's not on where it's 678?
Oh, I am 160% sure.
Okay, that's a good oddity, though, Peter. Thank you for bringing that up. I always
My
like
pleasure.
It. I love it when that happens.
Do I have another 3 minutes?
Yes, you do.
Could you talk about Glenn Jones? I find him to be the most fascinating person, and I don't know too much about him besides the world record. And I thought maybe you could talk about his origins at the station.
Glenn Jones showed up at WFMU in the mid-1980s, a skinny, good-looking young man wearing a neon green polyester shirt. Irwin brought him down to WFMU for the first time, and he was really into New Wave. And I put him right on the air, and it took him a while, I think, to find his voice, to find the Glenn Jones that you hear on the air now. He did a whole bunch of different time slots. And then, in fact, I think I took him off the air completely at one point, and then he was so upset and I felt so bad that I carved out. I took an hour away from the two adjacent people. I think I took an hour away from the reggae show and an hour away from Bill Kelly and gave Glenn like a little 2-hour slot there on Sundays, like from 11 to 1. And then that grew into Glenn's noon to 3 slot.
Yeah.
He had a lot of different people coming down until he finally settled on X-Ray Burns as his regular co-host. He lives for radio. Court TV for a long time. He worked at Sirius XM satellite radio for a long time. He's now working at a radio station down at the Jersey Shore. What else can I tell you? When he broke the world's record, the most amazing part of the breaking the world's record was at the very end, after he had been awake for about 98-99 hours, and he, even though he appeared to be awake, he was in fact having a nightmare. He thought he was inside the movie The Manchurian Candidate, and he thought that I was his captor, and he thought that everybody in the studio, like all the photographers and journalists and everybody, he thought they were all actors and actresses. And at that point, he couldn't, you had to stand next to him, because if you stopped kind of supporting him for a second, he would just fall over. And we were worried, me and this guy, Rich Z, we were worried that he would hurt himself. So when it was finally, when everything was over, when finally we decided like enough is enough, the first thing we did is Rich and I walked him into the bathroom, and we didn't want to leave his side because we were worried he would fall down and hit his head. And we walk into the bathroom with him, and he's still having his Manchurian Candidate nightmare, and he looks at us both and he says, "What the hell is wrong with you guys?" Because we had walked him into the bathroom. And then he woke up, and then it was so weird, because then he, in the course of talking to him and like explaining to him what had happened, then he woke up. He woke up without, he went from a dream state to a waking state, like before our very eyes. It was really, really weird.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Are you sassified?
Thanks a lot, Ken. That was great.
Peter on the FDR Drive?
Love the station.
Okay. Thanks, Peter. Andy, are you still with us?
What? Wait, what? Hold on. Let me turn this on. Hold on.
Turn what on?
Okay. I'm with you.
Okay.
Boy, that Glenn Jones, Glenn Jones, he tried to break the world's record.
He did break the world's record.
He did break the world's record there, and then he went to the bathroom.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Andy?
Yeah. Hold on. Hold on 1 second. Yes.
Okay. Andy, Michelle in Secaucus is on the line. Hi, Michelle. You're on the air.
Hi.
Do you want to hear more about Glenn Jones?
No. I am friends with ex-Ray Burns, though. I know him personally.
Uh-huh.
I've dog-sat his beagle.
You what?
But I've dog-sat for him before.
Oh, you dog-sat. Oh, for his beagle.
His beagle is very cute.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I do have a topic I would like to call in about.
Okay.
We will discuss it until we're interesting.
Okay. So, I know you guys are huge feminists. I know you abolished the tampon tax.
Yes.
But I have a new pet issue for you.
Okay.
I'm against this, whatever it is.
Okay. The pockets on women's jeans are just way too small, and it needs to be fixed.
I know. Oh, I've been talking about this for years.
Wow. You know what? I'm glad somebody agrees with me. I'm glad I have a platform to speak about this on. I've called about my period several times on this show, but now I'm all about the pocket size on women's jeans. I'm hoping you guys can help me. I'm hoping to raise awareness about this issue.
Do you mean people who design these pants for women assume women want smaller pockets?
They assume that they don't even want to use the pockets. They assume,
yeah, I need to use my pockets.
They assume the pockets are decorative only. Like, women have nothing that they want to put in their pockets. The pockets are there just for show. That's the attitude.
Yeah, and that's
now, is it because
true.
They assume that women have a purse over their shoulder?
Yeah, but we need our pockets too. Not every woman.
No, you don't. You don't need a pocket, honey. You have a purse.
Yeah, but I don't like carrying a big purse. Sometimes I like to, keep things in my pockets and not have a purse.
Right.
Give me an example of something you wish you could put in your pocket.
A pocket flosser.
My phone, my pocket watch, my monocle. Like, there are several items that I cannot fit in my pocket because my pockets are too small.
A quarter, a silver dollar.
Yes, I can't fit any of these things because my pockets, these designers assume, are just for decorative show. And
pocket
flossers.
I
think it's unfair to women.
Michelle, you know something else that gets my goat about women's fashion?
Please tell me.
It's that there's no criteria for women's T-shirt sizes. Like you get like a woman's medium made by one brand is like a woman's extra large in another brand.
Oh my gosh, so true.
It makes no sense whatsoever. We don't know
it
what.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, there's no standard whatsoever.
I agree completely. I'm glad we're having this conversation. I think it's very important to raise awareness about it.
Me too.
Also, not enough cleavage on a lot of the blouses.
Sometimes that's true, but it also depends on the cut of the shirt.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes
there are different shirt styles, Andy. So you need to understand that some women want to show cleavage. They buy a different style of shirt.
I got you. Oh, yeah, yeah. Because it should be up to the woman.
Exactly.
It's not always up to the boyfriend or the husband.
You should know this, but just a refresher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Andy is still figuring out about feminism.
No, it should. You're right. Michelle and Ken, you've opened my eyes about cleavage. It's a woman's choice.
Okay, Michelle, are you satisfied?
I am very satisfied. I'm glad I got the word about this. I'm on a train and there's a screaming child, so I'm going to go.
Okay, thanks, Michelle.
Have a great night.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye. It's outrageous. The size of women's pockets.
Don't get me started on that.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go to Los Angeles with Kevin. You're on the air.
Guys.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. That was the worst science discussion I've ever heard. That business. I think Art Bell would have a better explanation of the space-time continuum than you guys. You are clearly just pulling stuff out of your butt. Would you like to actually know what is meant by the space-time continuum?
Hang on a second. Andy, do you really want to know what's up with the space-time continuum?
How did this guy know that I was literally pulling stuff out of my butt?
Oh, maybe the Post-it fell off of your camera.
Oh, yeah. He can see me.
He can see you.
Yeah. It's true that the answer I gave about the space-time continuum, it's true, I did pull that out of my butt. I'd like to know, in layman's terms, what the space-time continuum really is.
Well, it means if you're traveling through space, you're also traveling through time, because time is wrapped up in space.
Well, what did I say? That space and time are the same thing.
No, they're not the same thing. No.
It's no, they're not exactly the same thing.
No. Time is one of the dimensions. It's like the fourth dimension.
Time is like a separate dimension, Ken.
Yeah. space is space. It's where you are. It's this planet.
Space is your location. It's fixed. And time is another dimension.
I can see Andy is well versed in this subject.
Yeah.
So it's like,
well, he's just pulling more stuff out of his butt. Yeah. I mean, he put the post-it back over his camera so you can't see it. But this is exactly what he's doing.
Right. Oh, I know. Well, I'm imagining.
Space is a 9-volt battery. That's just
No. Put that back, Andy. Put that back.
I'm putting it back. I'm putting it back.
Jesus.
Space is not a durable.
We don't want your heart to stop again.
Space is not adorable. Ken, when will you learn?
I know. Space it's not adorable. It's important. It's serious.
I said durable.
It's durable, Ken.
It's beautiful. It's handsome. I would not call it adorable. Thank you, Kevin. We are moving on.
I think Kevin was so smart, Ken, that he made you uncomfortable. You don't want anyone smarter than you on the air.
I didn't want you pulling anything else out of your butt that was going to cause harm. All right, let's see. Peter and Glen Ridge, you're on the air.
I'm on the air. Okay, let me tell you who I am. I'm an expert on many things, and you were talking about maps, and I'm a measurement expert, but you also mentioned get my goat, and I thought I would tell you where that expression comes
from. Yes, where did get my goat?
I was just wondering that.
A goat in a stable keeps a horse calm. So when you take away the goat, the horse gets excited. So when someone gets your goat, they excite you. They rile you up.
Is that where it comes from? Because I used to see goats in Hoboken. The police ride horses sometimes in Hoboken. Then they had a little stable, and there would be these cute little goats running around.
It keeps the horses calm.
How does that work?
I don't know.
Huh.
But actually, that relates to what I called yesterday, a show they were talking about horse racing. Uh-huh. And I spoke at length about measurements and where a furlong comes from and whatnot. And that kind of relates, if you want to talk about maps, I can talk about anything.
Wait, hold on. What makes you an expert in so many things? What is your background? What do you do for a living?
For Americans for Customary Weight and Measure. So I know lots of things. Astrology, Fahrenheit, where these things come from, Pythagorean theorem, Archimedes, anything, Galileo.
Most interesting person you yourself know. You've never met anyone more interesting than you. Is that correct?
Well, it's true because people, they don't know, and they're using these, they talk about measurement all the time. Measurement is an important part of, daily life.
I don't think so.
Oh, I remember the day I learned about the Pythagorean theorem.
Where a pint comes from.
That was a great day.
I can tell them.
I used to have gym class right before geometry, and of course we would smoke weed right after gym class, and then we would go into geometry class.
Geometry.
Yes, and I remember the day that Mrs. Edelman taught us about the Pythagorean theorem, and I was really high, and I was sitting in my chair, and I felt like I was on a G-force sled, and all of a sudden I realized, oh my God, everything has been leading up to this, the Pythagorean theorem. This is it. This entire semester has been leading up to this moment.
A squared plus B squared equals
C squared.
Absolutely.
Got it.
And you remember the Wizard of Oz? That's when, the Scarecrow, when they give him a diploma.
That's right.
He recites the Pythagorean theorem.
That's right.
Which is the epitome of intelligence or token intelligence.
Well, it was then. Now it's the time-space continuum.
So as far as maps, a curious thing about maps is on a map.
Peter, we got to run. Thank you, Peter. Sorry, we're almost out of time.
I'm just in the stands watching the race cars go whizzing by.
David in New York City, you're on the
air. There's more?
Yeah, one more.
Well, we're not going to find anyone more interesting than Peter.
I wouldn't even attempt.
Hi, David.
How are you?
There's more?
It's a public service.
Go ahead, David. What would you like to discuss for 4 minutes?
I would like to discuss the Universal horror monster films. Frankenstein, the Dracula, the Mummy.
And werewolf.
Yes, but it was the movie with the Wolfman with Lon Chaney Jr.
Oh, well, we're lucky that we're on the air with Andy Breckman because he works in the movies.
That's well, right. I'm not an expert in this genre.
Well,
what can I do for you?
Well, Andy, don't you think that does every
You know who I bet gets freaked out? You know what I sometimes think about?
What?
Is dogs, little pet dogs that are owned by wolfmen. Because they go to bed, their owner, their master is a regular guy, right?
Uh-huh.
sitting there in the living room. He's reading, the master's reading a book. The yep. dog's on the rug.
Yep.
And then he looks up, and suddenly his master, his owner, is this creature, this wolf man.
But that only happens one day a month. It only happens during the full moon.
Think how confusing it is for the little puppy.
What does the puppy know? The puppy.
Don't think werewolves keep dogs.
Well, that's a good point.
The puppy thinks that that's just what happens. That's just the normal turn of events.
Yeah.
I guess you're right. I don't know why I'm so worried about the puppy. I should be worried about the villagers, innocent villagers.
Do you agree, Andy, that...
Let's ask our caller, what one movie should our listeners seek out as the best introduction to the Universal oeuvre, the Universal monster movies?
Well, in terms of something that people might not have seen, the most interesting thing is the Bela Lugosi Dracula simultaneously was made for Spanish speakers with the same sets and some of the same performers and nearly the same script, but it's just a little bit different. Since everyone's probably seen the Bela Lugosi one, that provides a curious insight.
Hmm. I'm kind of partial to Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
They were great movies, too.
Yeah.
Except Lon Chaney Jr. as Frankenstein in that, but it might be Glenn Strange.
Andy, what are your favorite monster movies? I like The Invisible Man. I like the Alien movies.
I didn't feel I got my money's worth at The Invisible Man because I couldn't see him for most of the movie.
Yeah, he's wearing bandages. You can see him. You can see him, no problem.
That was good.
Yeah.
I guess it's not my genre. It's not my favorite genre.
No, I love horror movies.
What is your favorite genre that's not comedy, Andy?
I'm a noir guy. I'm a mystery guy, a thriller guy. I'm enjoying The Night Manager.
Man, me too. Night Manager's great.
Yeah.
Love it.
Is that a new TV series?
Yeah, it's on AMC. Yeah. Jean Le Carré.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's great. Really great. Oh, it's only 6 episodes. All right, David in Manhattan, we got to run.
Boy, you're a lot more animated when I'm not there. I'm beginning to think I dampen your spirits when I'm in the room.
Really, huh?
Yeah, you've been very entertaining. You've been telling all your stories about things you've done and learned and realized when you were high.
Uh-huh.
All your stories involve that, of course.
Yeah, well, most of them do.
Yeah. But you've been so animated and entertaining. It makes me feel bad.
I can't explain it. I don't know.
I think when I'm not there, you really kind of blossom.
I don't know about that.
No, you've been great.
I'd prefer to have you.
You've carried the weight. You've carried the whole weight of the show this hour.
No, I prefer to have you here, though.
Well, I'll be there next week.
Okay, great. You'll be here next week. And this is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, online at WFMU.org and in Rockland County at 91.9 FM. Stay tuned for Do It For Me with Sue Braun. Bye, Andy.
Bye, Ken. Thanks.
Do it, do it. Write about it, honey. That's Do it for me. Do it for me. Chances are, Leach, like, you never know. It's roll of the dice when you're going to come to the studio and beguile us and bewitch us with your videocracy that you do there, which you can see, by the way, live on the playlist. Go to WFMU.org and click on playlists and comments. And I think we may even have it on, yes, we even have it on the homepage itself, WFMU.org. We've got it on both. I mean, what, we rolled the dice. The chances were terrible that any of this would work. The chances were really bad, actually, that any of this would work at any given. We never
know. That's how I feel every morning when I wake up.
Priapism. Chances are.
The dice are stacked.
You know, chances are I have to go to the bathroom every time. I have to. This is how my dreams end. As you probably have read in many books about dreaming, Leach, Technocrat Leach, folks. My name is Sue Braun, by the way. We'll be here till 8 o'clock accepting your calls. I've come to accept the theory. I guess it's proven somehow. They hooked up some monkeys with electrodes or whatever, that the dream state only really happens when you start to wake up. And like this endless nightmare that you're... I'm talking about the endless nightmare when your eyes are closed. Not like that other one when you wake up. But that nightmare at that time is only last. You think you're like, oh, when am I going to get out of this thing? This is like hours long that I've been roaming this empty, abandoned house and running into, you know, bitches that I hate. And, you know, my mom, and it's just terrible. It's never anyone like I want to hang out with in my dreams. It's always just like, oh, please. Anyway, so those only last not hours, but seconds, and it's never at night. So it's kind of a misnomer to say, oh, I dreamt last night, or is it dreamed? I don't know. That's for the audience to correct me on.
Bunch of grammar Nazis out there.
Right.
They're hitting the message boards as we speak.
Well, I
or spoke or did
spake
we
spake
spake spick.
Did I enable comments? I hope
don't,
so.
Don't. It's a road you don't want to go down. Trust me. You're opening up the Pandora's box with that one.
Wow. I just want to double check that manage comments. No comments yet. Okay. Comment posting open. Over at the playlist at WFMU.org.
Hunting season is open.
Kill the wabbit. Kill the wabbit.
Do your worst.
So those dreams only last like 5 seconds, but like you're in this house of horrors for seemingly hours. And it's not really a house of horrors. It's just your kidneys and your bladder. You know, you're kind of in you're wanting and needing. And you're like, you know, your sexual organs awake at that time and all that. And suddenly, you know, you're in your dream having sex with like people that you would never even consider boning.
Condoleezza Rice.
Exactly. Sally Field one time, a long time ago, she was wearing her Flying Nun habit. Don't want to go. But, you know. So anyway, the thing that drives these dreams, I'm convinced... And I'll tell you why. The thing that drives these dreams that last for 5 seconds, but you're trapped in this hell, is your biological systems, your needs, and the need that drives it is, of course, there's your like you know the aforementioned sexual need, but also you gotta pee really bad, and so as a result, my dreams always end up with being trapped in a bathroom or trying to find a bathroom, and usually the bathrooms are filthy and I have to go through this maze of public bath. It's never like I, you know, my dream is disturbed by being locked in my own bathroom. you know, where I can chill and my cats come up to me and they rub their leg, their faces against my leg, and then they jump up into my pants and try to smell my underpants. I mean, that would be nice, actually, because that's a nice thing that they do for me. Even my cats do it for me. 201-536-9368, 201-536-9368. So you never actually...